Every now and then, we need to be reminded about a basic truth of Scripture, and that is that God hates sin. Now, it's not what the world wants to hear today, is it? The Bible says the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We are in that time. But God does hate sin. And if you ever wonder how much, just look at Calvary. Amen? And so this particular passage is God showing us His examples from the Old Testament that were given to tell us that basic truth that God hates sin. So beginning in verse 4, 2 Peter chapter 2, the Bible said, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly." So an example to the ungodly is the title of the message. Let's go to the Lord. Lord, we love You. We thank You for the privilege to be here and open Your Word. And Lord, may we come with open hearts this morning and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us through Your powerful Word. And Lord, to do surgery if need be, to bring comfort, to bring strength. But Lord, I pray that we'll set aside this short time just to focus on You and hearing from You, and that You'll be glorified, and that You will control all that's done and said, and that the Holy Spirit would be here and Jesus Christ would be magnified. And we ask this in Your precious name. Amen. So what God has given us in this passage is three examples from the Old Testament of God's judgment of sin, God revealing to us that God hates sin. And we know they're examples because God said so. There in verse 6. Examples unto those that later on, after these events, should live ungodly. God wants those who choose to live ungodly, saved and unsaved alike. God hates sin. Now, sometimes we as Christians get this attitude, well, I'm saved now, I'm going to heaven, my sins are forgiven. All those things are true, but God still hates sin. And sin can still hinder our fellowship with the Lord. It may not stop us from going to heaven, but it can certainly cause God to not listen to our prayers, and even God to chastise us if necessary, if we refuse to listen. So it's important for us to keep this right perspective from a holy God, that God hates sin. So let's look at the three examples He gave us. Verse 4, "If God spared not the angels that sin." So the first example He gives us is actually something that happened prior to man being created, it looks like. And that was when the devil convinced, it looks like from Revelation 12, a third of the angels to follow him. It looks like many of those angels were therefore cast into hell. And we find in Scripture that hell was actually originally designed for the fallen angels. But then later, as man came and man fell, it also became the future dwelling place of fallen man that wasn't redeemed. Now these angels, if you go to Jude 6, just over to the right a couple of books, the Bible explains that they turned their back on why they were created. Notice Jude verse 6, it says, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness under the judgment of the great day." So these angels, it says, they kept not their first estate. Man did the same thing. God created us. He created us for fellowship. He created us to inhabit the earth and to rule the earth, if you will. But then man fell into sin and lost that, and also left his first estate. If you go to Matthew 25, Jesus again explains that hell was originally created for the devil and his angels, because hell was created prior to man. Notice Matthew 25, verse 41. "Then shall He say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." So this everlasting fire that we know exists and is real and Jesus talked about more than heaven was originally prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't originally prepared for man. But these angels, we read in Revelation 12, the Bible says a third part of them were drawn aside or drawn away from God by the devil. And they were cast out. And as we read here, they were put into chains of darkness. How sad. And this group of angels that are in hell, we don't understand the breakdown of which ones are in hell and which ones became the devils of today. But we know that the devil has a lot of helpers. We read in Ephesians 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness, against this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The devil has plenty of helpers, and we see them inhabiting people during the time of Jesus Christ, indwelling them, possessing them, if you want to call it that. But there was a group of angels that God sent to hell. And now he's saying, and this was my first illustration of how much I hate sin. Pre-man. That I hate sin so much that I would take my created angels who I created to glorify me and to serve me and to please me, and I put them in hell. Because they chose to follow the devil and his direction of pride and rebellion against the holy God. And now they are still, from what we understand in Scripture, in hell, 6,000 years later or more. How sad. So the first example is actually the angels that sinned. But the second example, down in verse 5, is the flood. The pre-flood condition of mankind. It says, "And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." Why did God destroy? Well, let's look at Genesis 6 and find out where God clearly states why he brought the flood, why he destroyed the mankind of that day. Now, we don't know how many people this was, but it would have been surely hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, perished in the flood. Notice Genesis 6:11. It says, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence." Sound familiar? "And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." So God had had enough. Now, when all this happened, Noah was 500 years old. Think about that. How do we know that? Look back at Genesis 5, verse 32. Noah was 500 years old before the flood. And if you go to chapter 7, verse 6, it says, "And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of the waters was upon the earth." So I want you to understand that when we get to the New Testament, go to 1 Peter 3:20, it tells us that Noah was preaching during the time that he was building the ark. That means that Noah preached for 100 years. Think about that. If he were a modern day missionary, he would have been dropped. All of his support would have been dropped. Because how many converts did he have to his message of righteousness and holiness? His wife and kids, and that was it. After 100 years of preaching, think about that. That is how evil the earth was. Not one person said, "I hear what you're saying, Noah. I want to get on the ark too." And they would have been welcome to get on the ark. 1 Peter 3:20, notice what it says. "Which sometimes were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Eight souls. Now go to Matthew 24, and Jesus talked about this as well. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 37. Notice what Jesus said. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. They had 100 years of warning from Noah. But because of man's love for sin, he chose to not believe what Noah had to say. And every human being on the earth perished, other than the eight ones that got on the ark. Noah and his family. God is pointing back to that for us now, here in 2 Peter, and saying, this is one of my examples to those that after should live ungodly. I want you to understand, man, that I hate sin so much. That man had corrupted himself so much that I killed them all. Think about that. God chose to kill every human being outside of the ones that would get on the ark. The ark, of course, a picture of Jesus Christ. We see that in God closing the door. But how sad that not one person, after 100 years of preaching, chose to get on the ark. But today, look at us today. Paul told Timothy, preach the word. He said, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and godliness. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And that time has come. So let's look at the third example that God gave here in verse 6. So verse 4, the example of the angels that sinned with the devil and were chained up in hell. The second example is the pre-flood condition of mankind. And the third example, of course, is Sodom and Gomorrah. It says, in turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow. So let's go to Genesis 19 and understand why. But here we have God destroying two large cities. Most people estimate there was at least 1 million people in those two cities. They were some of the largest of the day. And God killed everyone in those cities except for, of course, Lot and his wife and his two daughters. We get to the New Testament and we find out that Lot was actually a picture of New Testament Christians. And God said, the angel said to Lot, I can't destroy the cities until you're not here. And God's going to pull us out before he pours his wrath down upon this earth. Praise God. But notice Genesis 19 down in verse 24. It says, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. Then if you go to Ezekiel 16, we'll see where God then refers back to Sodom and Gomorrah. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49. The Bible says, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride. Fullness of bread, abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. This is God's description of Sodom and Gomorrah prior to him raining down fire and brimstone. He says they had abundance of idleness. They had pride. They were haughty and they committed abomination. Sound familiar? It's a pretty good description of today, isn't it? And God destroyed these cities completely. If you go to Luke 17, Jesus even referred to Sodom and Gomorrah. Luke chapter 17 and verse 28. So it's one thing that God destroyed the angels, that He destroyed the pre-flood humankind, that He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, but we have to understand He did them not only because of the wickedness of the time, but to be a lesson for us. It's the same as you look at when He first started the church, there in the book of Acts. Look what happened with Ananias and Sapphira. I mean, the church is just starting, just getting off the ground, and they get killed for what? Lying to the Holy Ghost? Do you think anybody's lied to the Holy Ghost since then? Of course they have. So why did God kill them? To teach us that He hates sin. Israel goes into the promised land. They take Jericho. They come to the city of Ai. They say, oh, it's little. We won't even send all the soldiers. This one's going to be easy. And they lose. And thousands of people die. And then God says, it's because of sin. One man, Achan, resulted in thousands of Israelites dying in the battle. God says, I want you to kill him and his entire family. Wow, that's pretty extreme. Why? Because I'm going to use them to set an example. These were examples that God chose to use to teach us. Luke 17, verse 28, Jesus says, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. And then go to Jude, if you would, verse 7. Jude verse 7. The Bible says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So yes, they faced the direct vengeance of fire and brimstone, but then they all went to hell as well and faced eternal fire. Why? Why did God bring this up? Well, let's go back to our passage, 2 Peter 2 and verse 6. Making them an example. God said, this is going to be an example to man. I'm going to send those angels to hell. I'm going to destroy the earth with the flood. I'm going to rain down fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah to be an example of what? Unto those that after should live ungodly, an example that sin reaps judgment. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. The Bible says, for by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, Romans 5:12. Sin reaps judgment, and God hates sin. And again, if you ever wondered how much, we have these three examples, but we also have Calvary. We have the perfect, sinless Son of God going through all the suffering that He went through of being beaten and His beard ripped out and stabbed and a crown of thorns and mocked and then nailed to a cross. Why all of that suffering? It was for us. Because we're so wicked. God hates sin. And we look at these examples and we often think, yeah, God definitely hates murder and He hates thieves and but God also hates lying, self-righteousness, unforgiveness, judgmentalism, hypocrisy, neglect of the word, complacency, not praying, not reading His word. We could go on and on. God hates all sin. We as Christians need to be careful that we don't try to rate sin and say that some are worse than others. Never does He say that in His Word. Matter of fact, if you go to Revelation 21, verse 8, as God is listing the sins that will condemn man to hell, Revelation 21, 8, the fearful. Have you ever been fearful? The unbelieving? The abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all what? Liars. So God just gave you a rating system for sin there. There isn't one. He equates unbelief and lying with whoremongering and murder. Think about that. In our minds, we can't help it. That's just the way we think, that some sins are worse than others. But to a holy God, if we break His laws and violate His holiness, it is just as wicked no matter what the sin is. But we tend to rationalize certain sins in our Christian lives. God still hates those sins, and they can still hinder our fellowship with the Lord. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And so He hates the sin of gossip and unforgiveness and judgmentalism and hypocrisy just as much as He hates murder. And we need to remember that. And when the Holy Spirit points those things out, we need to deal with them rather than thinking that, oh, well, it's not so bad. It is bad. And that's why the Holy Spirit's speaking to us about it. Because He is God and He is holy and He lives inside of us. And it grieves Him when we don't deal with sin. So God gave us these and many other examples, but He specifically pointed out these three examples to us. The angels that were cast into hell, mankind being destroyed with the flood, and the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. He says those are examples. To who? Those that should after live ungodly. What does God want? He wants us to live godly. Is that tough with our wicked flesh? Is it tough with the devil and the world? Absolutely. But we have the Holy Spirit. And we have the Word of God. We can do this. We can live a godly life. And maybe it helps sometimes just to be reminded that God hates sin. Even in our own lives, He hates sin. And that God wants us to deal with it. If we confess our sins, praise God, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is the faithfulness of God, the goodness of God. He will always forgive. He will always cleanse. As long as we deal with it. So an example to the ungodly, I hope that it is an example that we contemplate constantly, that we might do our best, as he says in 1 Peter 1, be ye therefore holy as I am holy. That it would be our desire to live a holy life for a holy God.